Grace, mercy, and peace are yours from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The word of God for meditation this evening is from Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 to 20. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm, then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all of this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Pray also for me, that whenever I speak, words may be given me, so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly, as I should. Think you'll make it? To heaven, I mean. It's interesting the different answers that people give to that question. More often than not, the response goes something like this: well, I hope so. Trying to do the right thing. Whoa. Wrong answer to the wrong question. When I asked the question, "You think you'll make it?" I wasn't asking whether you had what it takes to make it. Without Jesus, none of us have what it takes. The only reason any of us will spend eternity in heaven is because of the perfect life Jesus lived and the death he died on the cross. We make the grade because it's not us that God sees, but it's Jesus, his blood and his righteousness that covers us. When I asked the question, "Think you'll make it?" what I really meant to ask is, do you think you'll be able to keep the faith until the end? Will you still love Jesus? Will he be your all in all? Will you be covered by the blood and righteousness of Jesus when the end comes? And therefore, be ready and make it. Before you quick to answer that question, remember there are examples in the Bible of people who, as far as we know, didn't make it. People who had the faith, who had all the right connections, who would never have imagined that they could ever fall away, and yet they did. Saul, Judas. And who of us here doesn't know someone who was raised in the faith, who wants nothing to do with God or Jesus now? It happens. It happens often. And if we think that it could never possibly happen to us, well, then we just made ourselves an even more vulnerable target. So if you think you're standing firm, be careful that you don't fall. Throughout these Wednesdays and Lent, we've been focusing on temptation. Where it starts, where it comes from, how it's tailor-made, how no one is exempt, how even the most strong spiritual person needs a battle plan. Over and over again, we have seen how utterly dependent we are on Jesus for the strength and the ability to overcome. Today, as we bring this series to a conclusion, the Word of God in front of us is a powerful reminder that a big part of the answer to the question, "Think you'll make it?" rests in this, Do we know our real enemy? And are we utilizing God's weaponry? So who is our real enemy? I think the natural tendency in this life is to focus on the enemies that we can see. The terrorists that threaten lives and freedom. Political parties, their stances. Governmental regulation. Our strict and overprotective parents. The spouse who can't seem to see things my way. Or the disease that's ravaging my body. We imagine that these are our real enemies. Yet Paul says that our battle, the real battle, is not against flesh and blood. People, government, diseases, these are not the enemy, no matter how wicked or destructive they are. Their evil comes from the same source as ours, from a perverse heart and a body that is languishing away under the curse of sin. These people and these things are not the enemy, though they may be used by the enemy, but they're not the enemy because they cannot separate us from God forever. Now make sure you got that straight. Our real enemies are the enemies that can separate us from God forever. The real enemy, therefore, is the sinful attitude towards all these things we've just talked about that can lead us away from the faith. The real enemy is actually inside of us. It's the simmering anger that continues day after day. It's the desire to get even, the temptation to give back as good as we get. It's the worry that so quickly rises in our hearts, the need to question God or blame Him. Our enemy is not flesh and blood, but our enemy is the sinful, rebellious, distrustful attitude that resides in our own hearts. We are our own worst enemy. So the first hurdle that we need to get over, if we're going to make it, is this crazy idea that somehow, on our own, we're going to be able to hold on to the faith until the end. On our own, that is not going to happen because the spiritual forces of evil are much too powerful. You see, if you are in Christ, then you are a sworn enemy of Satan. He is out to completely and utterly annihilate you. Not that he really cares about you. His beef is with God. His problem is he can't touch God. But if he can trip you up, if he can steal you away, then he can hurt God. He can break God's heart. And that's really all Satan cares about. He doesn't care squat about you or me or suffering eternally in hell apart from him. He is like a wounded animal. He's lashing out in anger. He knows that he has lost the war, but he's determined to go down fighting, and he's looking to cause as much damage and havoc as he possibly can, as long as he can. And he's the master of lies and deception, as we've heard over these past weeks. He's been studying human psychology for long before we even imagined there was such a thing. He knows you. He knows how to manipulate you. He knows what buttons to press. And finally, he knows, as we've heard repeatedly throughout this series, what will get you to fall every time. You think you're going to make it? You think you can hold on to the faith in view of this kind of opposition against these kind of odds? To quote The Princess Bride, it'll take a miracle. You see, the truth is, there is no way that you and I are going to make it without divine intervention. You know, even Jesus needed divine intervention. If you remember when Jesus was tempted in the wilderness, he did not lean on his own strength or his own wit. He was carrying around our weak human flesh. He was not that foolish. Jesus took up instead the one weapon that Satan could not overcome, and that was the Word of God. And here again, we see how wretchedly lost that we really are. I mean, when we are head-to-head with our enemies, we find ourselves reaching for the wrong kinds of weapons. We think that political power, strategy, human arguments, willpower, our own intelligence is going to protect us. But those weapons are nothing in the face of our enemy. In the wilderness, Jesus showed us the only way to make it through the battle and to be standing when the smoke clears. We need to buckle the belt of truth around our waist. The Roman soldier wore three different belts. One was a leather apron that protected the lower half of his body. The other belt held his sword, and the final belt showed his rank. Now, Paul is referring to the belt that served as protection. We are protected by the truth. Sanctify them by the truth, Jesus prayed for his disciples, for us. Your word is truth. We need the truth more than we even imagine. We need to be constantly reminded of how depraved and how sinful we really are by nature. Our anger always seems justified, right? Our priorities always feel right to us. And our selfish lusts are so easily awakened. We need to see the truth about how messed up we really are. Many of us find ourselves comparing ourselves to others. We think that we just don't measure up. And Satan, he loves to feed on that. He wants us to believe that we are worthless because we can't do what someone else can do. We need to see the truth about who God really created us to be. We lie awake at night, lamenting the things that we've said and we've done. If other people knew, we think, what would they think of us? Even more frightening, God knows all of it. The thought of that fills us with guilt and shame, and we try to put those thoughts out of our mind, but Satan loves to keep bringing those thoughts back up over and over again. The only thing that is going to free us is the truth that we are forgiven in Christ. Are we going to make it? Not without the truth. If we're going to make it, we're also going to have to surround ourselves with the breastplate of righteousness. The Roman soldier wore a piece of metal that was bent to fit his frame. For those who could afford it, they also wore a heavy chain mail that protected their upper body. If we're going to make it, we're going to need this righteousness of Christ as our breastplate. The scripture tells us that God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him, baptized in him, believing in him, we might become the righteousness of Christ. Paul says, for as many of you as were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. Christ is our righteousness. In our baptisms, we wear him like a coat of armor, a bulletproof Kevlar vest that all of Satan's accusations and lies cannot penetrate. When's the last time you thought about your baptism? When's the last time you got up in the morning and reminded yourself, hey, I'm a baptized child of God. I belong to him. Whatever I have done wrong, it's in the past, it's forgiven, and it's forgotten. I'm covered in Jesus' blood, I am new. And nothing Satan says or puts in front of me is going to change the way I think or tempt me to act again like a child of Satan instead of a child of God. Only holding fast to our baptism are we truly going to make it. And if we're going to make it, I think we also need to strap the swift readiness of the gospel of peace to our feet, as Paul encourages us here. Beautiful are the feet that bring good news, right? God has called us to be soldiers of peace. Now, the peace we're talking about is peace with God, peace with ourselves, peace with each other. It's the peace that passes all understanding. And there's no more effective way to hold on to this peace than to proclaim it. I often tell the people I counsel that there's no more powerful way to make the truth that you've come to believe your own than to tell it to somebody else. If we're going to make it, Paul says, we also need to take up the shield of faith. A Roman soldier carried a large shield shaped like a door. The thick layers of leather were soaked in water to extinguish the enemy's fiery arrows. Faith soaked in baptism's water shields us from Satan's fiery darts. When he comes up to us and says, how could God possibly love you? Look at all the pain, all the struggle that he's brought into your life. Is that how God treats someone he loves? Are we going to make it? We need from God a faith that will believe what we often don't see. Paul says if we're going to make it, we need to put on the helmet of salvation. St. Paul has in view here that costly and heavy helmet of burnished bronze, a helmet so strong that only an axe or a hammer could penetrate it. Our hammer or our helmet is the hope of salvation, the knowledge that we have deliverance from death through Jesus, death and resurrection. Remember in John, Jesus makes this promise, whoever believes in me will live even though he dies. Whoever lives and believes in me will never die. That promise, and only that promise, has the power to deliver us from eternal death to eternal life. Now that promise may look like 5 smooth stones and a slingshot in front of Goliath. Yet, it is a mighty weapon, greater than any other, against the lies that Satan whispers in our ears. If we're going to make it, it's the power of this promise that'll be the reason why. Finally, Paul says, pray. Pray in the Spirit always with all kinds of prayers and petitions. Keep on praying for all the saints and for me. Prayer, if you remember, has 2 parts, right? Prayer is us listening to God as he speaks to us in his word, and then us pouring out our hearts to him, whatever it is that is troubling us. Are we going to make it? We need to be in constant communication with God. We need to allow his Holy Spirit to renew our hearts and our minds, and then we need to cry out to him in our weakness, both for ourselves and, as Paul says, for each other. Are we going to make it? You bet we're going to make it. Because we're going to keep coming together here. And we're going to help each other. We're going to encourage each other. God has just shown us the real enemy, both within and without. He has reminded us of how utterly important the spiritual weapons are that he has given us. We're going to buckle that belt of truth around us. We're going to daily put on this breastplate of righteousness. We're going to take up that shield of faith. We're going to proudly wear the helmet of salvation. And we're going to pray for ourselves and for each other. And by God's grace and in his power, when it's all said and done and when the smoke clears, we're going to stand. Amen.